shoot the cannon off so we know we're down one on this.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the joint work session of the Planning Commission and City Council. This is fun. We should do this again, maybe Friday. Heidi, we are recording.
Yes.
Or sorry, Wendy. Cut out of me with Heidi. First item is a discussion with consultants on the progress of the general plan. I'll turn it over to Sherry Pace.
So I'd like to introduce our consultants, for those of you who have not met them. This is Landmark Design, and Sam, and why am I going blank?
Lisa.
I haven't eaten enough, that's why I'm my blood sugar's low. Anyway, so they're going to make a presentation tonight, and I will go ahead and just turn it over to them, and they'll get us all updated.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We want to run through a lot of information, but we want to do it quickly so we can have a good conversation with you this evening. And I should mention, we also have Susie Becker with ZPF here to present some interesting findings as well. So we've been working with a really thoughtful advisory committee on this process. We've also been soliciting public input through several different avenues. We've had a project website and an interactive online map. We've held a number of neighborhood meetings, public workshops, and a meeting with a business and stakeholder group. So all of that has been feeding into where we're at now. So we are at the beginning of the draft plan development. So we want to get your thoughts before we dive too far into that tonight. And then later on in the process, after we get the draft plan, we'll be taking it out. You know, we'll be working with the committee again and staff, and we'll be taking it out to the public and to leadership groups again. We wanted to run through some of the key community engagement takeaways because that's really informed where we are at now. So some of the top five takeaways from the preliminary input include the disconnectivity of the city's neighborhoods. Residents feel like there are key amenities missing, like, you know, libraries, gathering places. Air quality is still a top concern of residents. There's concern over the lack of transportation options, but they were also happy to point out their appreciation and value for parks, trails, and open space within the city. The business and stakeholders group pointed out, you know, key areas for access, you know, being key for industry in the city. Kind of the south end of Redwood is important for them, but they also still say that smell of that area is a downside, some of the air quality issues down there. They have good tenancy in some of the industrial park areas, and a lot of those tenants don't need storefronts necessarily, but they would like to see an infusion of some nightlife activities and see more support for business incubation and additional development on Redwood and Center, but by the right user groups. And then they were also pointing out some of the draws that are already in the city that we can build upon as we move forward. You know, some of those recreation uses, some of the great cafes in the city already. And then the close proximity to the airport and the community's pleasant and friendly character. So out of those initial sessions, we developed seven guiding principles, and these are still a bit in draft form, and so we're happy to talk about these as well if you have concerns about some of these, the wording, or if we need to change some of these up. But some of those focused on community character, you know, establishing that distinct identity in neighborhoods and creating community destinations. Focusing on healthy living, creating an interconnected community that focuses on mobility and healthy lifestyles, providing mobility and access so that we can absorb growth and also connect neighborhoods and provide a full range of transportation modes. Economic opportunity, kind of reshaping that industrial area a little bit into a modern center of commerce and innovation. Environment, reconnecting the city to its natural environment and strengthening your identity as a resilient community. Balanced growth, preserving the features of the neighborhoods that exist, but also providing those housing options to meet diverse needs of your residents, and then focusing on community life, providing the services and programming and facilities that will enhance quality of life within the city. So following all of this preliminary input, we held a pizza and planning workshop in October, trying to get resident input on three preliminary concepts that rolled all of these ideas into some digestible frameworks. These identities focused on shaping distinctive neighborhoods, embracing industry and innovation, and then expanding the green network. So the idea of shaping distinctive neighborhoods focused on kind of creating unique names for each of these areas, looking at community gateways and key connections to and through the community. And the embracing industry and innovation idea looked at some ways to maybe change the perimeter uses around that industrial core in the city along Redwood, 11th North, and Center Street. And then expanding the green network. And this looks at the idea of kind of a mountains to river corridor that is focused along Center Street and has these bookend community centers focused at either end of Center Street, but also the idea of interconnected trails throughout the city to connect your important destinations. So the top takeaways from the public workshop were that the community really seemed to come out in support of expanding the green network the most. That idea resonated with them more than the industrial, you know, kind of making those enhancements in the industrial area and then enhancing those neighborhood identities. It's not to say they didn't support those, but this idea was definitely supported by most of the participants. They're also interested in beautifying Center Street as a focal point for the community, and they want to see more small businesses and community amenities such as a library and recreation center. And your residents are excited for the improvements that are coming to Hatch Park and also want to see you know, mixed-use development in the town center as part of that, kind of enhancing that town core. And then also they also expressed interest and appreciation for the bicycle and pedestrian improvements and the connections that were presented at that workshop. So out of that workshop, we've kind of started trying to dive into how to approach land use and transportation and start melding some of these elements together. And as part of that, ZPF ran a great financial analysis model to study the feasibility of these two activity centers, the town center area, and then also kind of a town center out on the west side, an activity center that was also expressed as an area of interest by the community. So we'll let Susie kind of run through these.
Well, thanks. I am delighted to be here. I am filling in tonight for Eric Danitz, who actually ran the numbers, and many of you have met him and worked with him. But you all know how much he loves numbers, and he has all these degrees, and somehow he thought he needed a math degree besides, so he has a final in math tonight. So even though he's managed hedge funds at Goldman Sachs, I don't know, but he loves numbers, so I'm going to try to interpret some of his numbers here for you tonight. Okay, here we go. Yeah. So this slide that he put together is just simply showing that there's a lot, and we'll see this as we go through the slides in more detail. There's a lot of opportunity that's feasible in the market in the Foxborough Redwood Road area. Maybe some of the revenues that the investment that we see in that area could help to us to do some of the development in the city center, where it's a little harder due to land costs and other considerations for the development to be market driven. Okay. There we go. Ace is slow. Okay, I'll catch on to it. Then he just had a couple slides, and I'm going to go through them really quickly, of just some basic economic data that you always see on these types of studies. Basically, you're in good shape. You have more in-migration coming in for employment than you have leaving each day. On the next one, you can do them for me. Oh, awesome. Thank you. So you have had, when you look at this, you've done, the purple there is the apartments. You really have done your fair share in more of apartments when I compare to other cities, when I'm thinking Here in the past, I'm slowed down a little between 2015 there and 2019, but you have had a pretty good share from what I usually see. So it's just interesting to see the split of the diversity of your housing. On the next one, he has looked here and compared the number of square feet that you have for retail, industrial, compared to Utah County and compared to Salt Lake County. And in general, you're pretty high in industrial, no surprise. You're high in retail. I have to think that the auto dealers would be driving, because they're in retail, would be driving up some of that number there. Because there are some other retail, you know, things that seem to be lacking in the city that you could add. Higher than Utah County, and of course, Salt Lake County is really high in industrial, as we all know. Anyway, next slide. Now let's get into kind of the land use concepts. And Sam, jump in here too if you want to comment. I know you've spent a lot of time on these with Eric.
Yeah, so when we talk loosely about establishing a counterpart to the town center on the west side, we started looking at the west end of Center Street. And that was in part driven by this idea of a Center Street Greenway, that you're physically linking the two sides of the community, Foxborough and the east side, together. Using Center Street as sort of the key, the premier corridor for the community. Now, we obviously know there are some like barrier issues associated with like vehicle transportation on Center Street, but there's still a lot of opportunity there to overcome some of those barriers from an active transportation standpoint. And so that's kind of where we were starting to lean into this idea of revisioning the area around Redwood Road and Center Street. And obviously the area shown on the left is much bigger than the town center area on the right. And that's partly because we were just trying to explore what makes sense what sort of areas are most likely to, be most prime, yeah, so to speak, for change. And so initially when we first ran the model, we ran a couple different sort of sub districts out there, one centered around Redwood and Center, the other one a little bit further west on Center Street, south of the existing Foxborough area. And that model came back with some frankly discouraging numbers because the land uses we were testing out there just weren't working at all. So
you mean they resist change? Is that?
Yeah, so and Susie will get into some of the details of this, but basically what we were finding as we've gone through this model process, and this is the second iteration you're seeing on the screen there, is that either land acquisition costs became prohibitive, or the expected revenue from a certain land, or rather that revenue expected from a certain land use type was not enough to counter that acquisition cost, right? So, in particular, vertical mixed use, which is like the prime ideal, you know, utopian use with ground floor retail and residential above that we vision for the town center, is actually really challenging in our market right now. The revenues just aren't pulling back enough. So this is a reworked concept that we came up with a little bit later. We reduced the size of the mixed-use footprint, leaned into some findings that retail was a bit more of a performer, as well as the fact that your overall city economic profile revealed that, you know, lodging still has some opportunity, office still has some opportunity areas, and also that residential in the current market is still actually a really strong performer for the development community. So so we'll get into the details of this as Susie goes through it.
Yeah, if you go to the hopefully next that's a good primer. Slide, you can zoom in on the next slide here, and you can see, yeah, the Foxborough a little more clearly if you can see at me a little better here anyways. And you can see the mix of uses there that you would have with the retail, the commercial, along Redwood Road, moving back into more of the residential, and that even the townhomes there in the blue in that area. And then if we go to the next one, we've
Can I ask a question? On this, the red that says community center, what is that?
Yeah, so the community center idea is just, as we've talked with residents with the neighborhood meetings and the public workshops, there's been this sort of expression that there's not like a place to call. The West Side generally feels like they're lacking some of the amenities that you would expect to find in a community, right? They have to come to the East Side for City Hall, and even further afield to get services like library, rec center, so to speak. So that's a very loose term that we're holding is when we say community center, but the thought is that there could be some location down on the West Side that provided some form of services to the community, whether in form of recreation, education, whatever. I mean, it's a very loose, ambiguous term at this point. But ultimately trying to create a focal point and a place for community services to be provided to the West Side residents.
For clarification, because the colors are really blending together here. So I think the community center was parcel zero, where
yes.
The lifeline parcel.
Yeah. And that doesn't have to be tied to that parcel. We just assigned it that in this scenario.
The corridor right along Redwood Road, so 46, 37, 12, 14, 9,
yeah.
What it flex retail?
Thank
flex,
you.
That's
retail.
All the flex retail.
Yeah.
They're really bleeding similarly on the, yeah. So, just to walk you through what the different sort of envisioned land uses are here. Basically, there's two parts to this overall. So on the west leg, south of the existing neighborhood development, you sort of have this small neighborhood center with a mixed-use focus on 5, 11, 10, and 6. and that's bounded by residential uses that eventually step down in gradient and intensity back into the single-family neighborhoods. Then on the east end of this graphic, you've got the Redwood Corridor, which has a lot of opportunity, a lot of strength for retail-type uses, office and lodging thrown in there. And that opportunity has potential to go even higher if you take off height limits. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that big giant pink area is kind of, some of those sites are ideally suited for higher story uses in that category. And then the uses on Cutler Drive are kind of this transition point. They're kind of in the in-between and kind of bridging between the residential neighborhoods and this kind of commercial corridor. And the thought there was that, you know, many of the existing uses could probably remain, but, you know, future infill might bring additional retail or sort of work-live residential situations. Really kind of the vision being like a kind of a startup friendly neighborhood where, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in the land use. So that's kind of an overview of that. The east end, looking at the town center on the next page, was, you know, there's obviously a lot of existing use. We don't see a lot of that changing, but we wanted to dial in on some of the parcels that seemed like they were the most prime based on the initial analysis that had been done for this area. And so in our first run of the model, we had kind of thrown just like mixed use at just about everything here, and it was coming back like performance was just not there. And we still have kept mixed use on some of these in this scenario because obviously you have a town center master plan. This is an important thing for your community, especially in establishing identity for North Salt Lake, and so. We felt like it was important to leave some of those in that way, but maybe adjusting the scenario a little bit to back off from some of that challenging mixed-use retail space and dialing in on more residential rooftops, which are more feasible to build in the current market, and would also, the inclusion of those rooftops would then also help the retail businesses out in terms of generating the revenue needed to keep them in
just
business.
A quick question on the mixed use. So when you say that it's underperforming, is that from a finance perspective, from a ROI? Like, what? Why is that? Because that kind of goes against my perception of the market, but that's just probably me.
Yeah, and I think that's what this, we're going to get to in the next slides,
right? Yeah, we'll kind of go through some of these, but right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And keep asking that, keep, again, if we don't get there. So.
Will you point out to me what is open space? Is that 2 and 3 in the Foxborough one and 26 in the Midtown one?
Yeah, so right in the Foxborough one, that was 2 and 3, great, which are existing open space today. And then on the Town Center East, I think we had thrown out 26 just because it was an awkward shaped parcel. And we were trying to find a way to create a sort of gateway to the Town Center from the east side as you're coming into it. But I don't know that it needs to envelop the whole parcel. It was just sort of, we're conceptually exploring different uses in this area and how they would work out. So
26 is open space, not
retail? That's what's currently shown on the map, yes. Okay, Susie.
Okay, we'll go to the numbers. Here we go. Okay, I'm glad you have a printout because those are really small numbers. So what Eric did is he went and he got all of these parcels, and the numbers coordinate to the maps, and he looked at, and it's the assessor's database, so you have to take that for what it's worth for the value of the parcel, but it often a little low, but and workable. So we used those numbers. And as you look at the left side, Foxborough Center, look at the cost per parcel. This is not land acquisition. And when he was explaining this to me earlier today, what he'd done here, so I came up and I said, what? It's got to be parcel acquisition cost. He goes, oh, yeah, we should have renamed that. So rename it, parcel acquisition cost. It is the land and the improvement. So some parcels, some areas are more expensive because they've got buildings on them. And so there's less likelihood of redevelopment, given the cost of acquiring that parcel. So, but look, just in general, Foxborough, and then you've got the east side, where it becomes these land costs, acquiring the property there makes it much less feasible to do the development. Okay, so if we go to the next one. And
what is the text below the x-axis? What does that tell us?
Each of those are the parcel numbers from the concepts on the previous pages. So that those are the corresponding numbers, and then the use that was assigned in the concept
the
map. Maps.
Like the 39 on the first one on the left, Foxborough Center.
Should we read that as in order to clear that parcel acquisition, that's the
per
form
acre
of development?
And it is still per acre, so it's comparable, yes. And it's from the assessor's database, so it's just taken right there from the parcel. So it's to help you kind of see in the end where we're headed is where do you have some clusters or some area that are more likely to happen in the market, where areas where you're going to have some incentives, some other economic tools to make your vision happen. So here we go. On the next slide, he did this key development metric here, which is profit on cost, which we can go through as kind of back to your question in detail, but basically he's going to take So rent rates are going to be a large part of this profitability and construction costs. And you're going to take the NOI and you're going to look at that given cap rates in the market today and see what is the value of these different properties. And then you compare that to the land and the construction costs. And at what point is a developer willing to participate and jump in? Some of these are negative. Don't go to the next slide yet, but I know you will see he's going to run numbers, I think, from just on one of these, no, somewhere from 1% on up, although I don't think any developer is going to jump in for less than 18%, somewhere around in that ballpark generally, and be willing to do those. But you can see, and we've got a map of it, but this gives you some idea of some of the numbers where it's profitable and just not without help. Okay, then he takes a little detour for a minute here and just talks about, before we do the maps, about the capacity to absorb new development. And he's just showing here, sort of the total existing residential and commercial square feet, and then how much more. And Eric said to me, be sure and stress this is 20 years or more. This is not overnight, of course. But you can see the percentage, the amount of new space that we anticipate, and certainly looking to put quite a bit of commercial
in here in the future as a ratio compared to residential there. Then there's just one more. It's just a percent of new development, a percent of existing square feet. You can see again the emphasis on commercial. So now we go to the next one, and this is kind of fun because we all like to look at tax increment because that can be a revenue source. So if we look at these two lines here, and let's look at the kind of rusty colored reddish one first. Look how low in the left-hand corner that is. These areas, you don't have a lot, really a lot of assessed value there right now compared to what you could get with this type of development. So the total assessed value, you can see all you're doing is adding the incremental value, and so you've got that base value already there, and it just stays on top of it by that same margin as you add the incremental value. It could be added to your property tax rolls from this type of development if it were to occur as you've outlined. And then I think the next one to me is just a repeat. Put all the agency annual revenue available for projects. He said the potential CR revenue generates about $85 million in bonding capacity over a 20-year term, assuming a 45% participation rate by all of the taxing entities.
Can I ask one quick question? On the previous slide,
yeah,
that's a huge projection. What metric is being used to project such a large increase? If we went forward with this plan, it's showing that the assessed value would increase so significantly.
Yeah.
So
it's the density.
The density. So that's really what is driving, not the addition of retail, but the density of.
Because this is property tax, so it's the incremental value. So you're not talking here about your sales tax, but. That would be, and we haven't really run fiscal impacts. I don't think he has done that yet to the city in terms of added revenue from not only property tax, but sales tax. But that would be a huge revenue source if we added more retail as well. And the residential, of course, that's some sales tax from the population distribution. Then you'd get some municipal energy tax. But yeah, this is property tax because generally when you do a CRA area and use tax increment, you're talking about property tax here. Okay. It would be interesting to see how we could structure one where you could actually capture increment on your west side. I don't know if you could do a large project area and only take increment from a portion and spend it then over, you know, on your east side some. First time I saw that done was a long time ago when they did the Gateway in Salt Lake. And you might remember, do you remember Alice Steiner? She was head of the RDA at the time. And so they did this big, you know, by the Rio Grande there, the big, huge tax increment area. But at the time, law was limiting. You can only do it from 100 acres, a tax increment. So we took it from the station, and Alice wanted to spend it over to the west where it was really needed in some of those neighborhoods. So I don't know. I mean, it's been done a lot of places, but that's where I first saw it. Okay, let's go to the map here. Okay, so here we've kind of labeled strong and moderately feasible uses are included. Only strong and moderately feasible were included in the financial model. I think he ran everything above 1% is what he told me. So maybe even that's a little high from what we would really get. But you can see looking on here what has low feasibility, moderate, and strong. And Foxborough certainly has a lot of potential for retail strength. There is a couple of candidate sites for hotels. And 3 to 5 story mixed use is still challenged, is what this map is telling us.
Sorry, another question.
No, this is a good one to talk about.
It looked like parcel 18 and 19 were showing the highest percentage of profitability a few slides back. Is that because they were projecting that based on a potential hotel? So if you go back to... This one where it's showing, where it's showing 19 and, or 18 and 20 being 186 and 190% profitability. So the highest profit on cost.
18 and 20, your number's not matched up. That should be.
Oh, 21, yeah, page 21. That's helpful.
Yeah, those are the candidate sites for hotels. Those look pretty, they're in green. So I think they're matching, 18 and 20. And then if you're looking at
Are they 18 and 20 on page 18? Is that where we're looking?
Yes, and they're on page 17 as well.
And so is that based on that high percentage of profitability based on the potential of making those hotels? Is that what drove that up?
Yeah, and I don't know how he drove the hotel ones. I know how he drove all the others, but I don't know all his assumptions on hotels, but we'll make sure those are there for you.
So we together haven't discussed the kind of uses that we want out here. And so this is just a useful way to say, hey, if you wanted to explore centered development in this location, you know, yeah. FYI, feasibility, better over here, weaker over there, food for thought, consider that as you make your policy conversation.
Exactly. Let's back up for a second and touch on why we ran this exercise. I think we might have missed that as we were moving through here tonight. So coming out of the public workshop, we identified that, one, there was a desire for a similar sort of town center experience on the West End, that people want amenities on the West End just like they want them on the East End. And so in the spirit of kind of doing things equitably, we were trying to explore the feasibility of that. Second, we know that the town center has had a kind of a rough start getting off the ground, right? It hasn't quite gone maybe 100% the way we want it to, right? So we wanted to explore that end a little bit and understand why, and that's why we're testing out the land uses we were down there. Thirdly, our initial run of this model was really just looking at mixed use and commercial residential centers at either end and how well they would perform. After running the model the first time, we got very different numbers here with those use assumptions, and we actually have those at the back here in some sort of appendix slides that we can get into if we want to go there. But so once we kind of identified that, like, you know, those uses weren't necessarily performing well in every scenario, we sort of pulled back and said, well, okay, we do know that the area on the Redwood Corridor is still a prime opportunity area for your community. Let's have a look at what that could be. Right. We did know from the public workshop that there was interest in sort of establishing a new approach to the industrial area to kind of revitalize it, make it a little bit more engageable for your community, rather than it just being this sort of back of house place. And so we started to kind of look at that Redwood Corridor area as like a potential to create a new space within your city for economic opportunity. And this is kind of where we were pointed to in that process. But I think our point in kind of running all this is we're hopefully leading to a future land use framework of where we'd like to take the plan. But this is obviously all still very much in draft, and we want to make sure that it's meeting your vision as community leadership, and that's why we're here tonight. So does that kind of make sense on where we're headed? Okay.
Can I ask a question about the location you've identified in Foxborough? If you look at the Foxborough, let's see, sorry. On page, maybe the first one, this one, where it has the kind of two centers in Foxborough, one on the west end that's, the south end that's orange, and then the one farther up that's purple. Did you do any of that analysis in that purple area? There already is.
Oh, the Lees area.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Susie, you can speak to this too a little bit, but basically right off the bat, we sort of identified that most of the land in that area has been recently developed, right? That most of the uses are established. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. Like the lifespan of those buildings, those uses is set much further beyond the horizon of this plan. And there's less, there are fewer underutilized sites in that area than there are further down the Redwood Corridor and on the center and on the west end of Center Street. And so from the like overall opportunity analysis that Zions did at the beginning of our study, that seemed like the more prime opportunity for more significant change to occur. Whereas up at the north end where Lee's is, you're looking at pretty limited infill opportunity and limited turnover of property because so many of those sites are already kind of utilized and recently have the recently constructed buildings. Does that kind of summarize it well?
Yeah, I think opportunity is the key word, as we're looking for opportunity on the east and on the west from the town center and from the Foxborough area. And that's why we focused on these areas.
I have one more opportunity question. It's fairly limited land-wise, but did you look opportunity-wise at, since we're redeveloping the whole I-215, I-15 interchange, where we're putting in the Starbucks and the chicken, and there's the big circle, high-density area of spenders.
Yeah.
What about on that corridor? Did you look at opportunity there?
Yeah, so we didn't look at specifically at those chunks as we went through this modeling analysis, but we can pretty safely assume, I think, that we're going to see similar performance metrics in terms of we have increased land values on that corridor, and we're probably going to see decent opportunity for retail performance to do well in those areas as well. So so a little bit further here in the slideshow, I've got an overview of the city and kind of the land use framework, and we do look at that area a little bit. And that's kind of inferring what we've learned from this analysis as we've gone through it. So,
and if I can just offer my perspective as well on being further south on Redwood, one of the key takeaways in the community engagement was linking the east and the west side, and having it down on that southern side creates an avenue to do that via Center Street.
Yep.
Great. Okay, which one? Oh, this one? We just finished up on this one, right? Our discussions were on the next one.
Are we?
Visibility Town Center East?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, here we go. It's kind of interesting here that we didn't see any strong, only strong and moderately feasible use are included in the model. We really saw more of low and moderate in this area without some help. Doesn't mean you can't do it. There's economic tools. You can decide where you want to spend your money, how much risk the city wants to take, how much you want to be involved to make things happen. Just given current market conditions, given construction costs, the land costs here, the rents that we think that you could achieve in this area, it doesn't seem, and it doesn't seem to be happening on its own in the market as it is anyway. So the last slide, I think, and Eric just summed this together for different policies that you could take, different levels of participation, depending on how much risk you want to take. And we probably can go into more of those later as we come up with more of a concrete plan, but we can, you know, there's all the basics. The city can just go out on a limb and issue sales tax bonds or something and hope you get increment to repay them or something. But that's the highest risk. But you can use some of these other tools as well, including things even like fee waivers. Eric has PIDs in here. You have to have 100% participation, but area, you know, we'd have to find a large enough area where that actually could work. Might be difficult in a developed area. But anyway, some ideas here as well, and that's, do you have any questions? I think that's pretty much what Zions was presenting.
This group's already been really good about asking their questions as we went. So.
I know, it was good.
Okay, not to say that you're not done, so. So where does this all take us now? Okay, so we've done some of this analysis. You know, the goal of this was to say we wanted to move into a future land use concept that was informed a little bit by market metrics, so that we're giving you hopefully a vision for moving forward over the next 10, 20 years that has some root in reality and can actually result in some positive change for your community. So tying, you know, that land use analysis in with the other things that we heard from the public, what we've, our team of consultants has also kind of identified as key opportunities in the transportation network and so forth. We've kind of arrived at what we're calling our proposed framework. and we're preparing to basically move into our draft plan stage, as Lisa established. So purpose tonight is to hopefully have some discussion around where we're headed with this and dial in on what's the key priority for you over the next decade, and where do we want the focus of this plan to be? I've seen a lot of general plans. Many of them try to stock every single idea under the sun, under that hat, and it often leads to just a lot of frustration and a lot of things just not being done. And so our goal with the general plan draft is we'd like to try and dial in on what the priority items are. We can still have a lot of other ideas in the background, but our goal is to have an implementation section that is readily available to city staff and yourselves that you can look to and say, you know, these are our priorities for moving our community forward. While at the same time, you know, leaving a little bit of flexibility for some of the other stuff down the road as things change, because you know, time moves on, opportunities change, different priorities arise. So, so as we kind of boiled this down and all this stuff, these are kind of the priority goals that we have seen initially for North Salt Lake's general plan. One is to establish a priority network of regional and neighborhood linking trails, with a focus particularly on Center Street, Orchard Drive, US 89, Redwood, and the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. Completing, you know, whatever segments need completion, linking those together, getting that, you know, worked out so that you have a unified system. Continued development of the town center, and how do we leverage opportunities to see that through to fruition? development of a West Side Activity Center, which we've touched on what that could look like in some respect. strengthening your overall identity as a community through simple measures of like gateways and branding, and trying to like make some organization to who you are as a community. Supplying your existing parks and trails with high quality amenities. As we've done our parks analysis, there are, you know, while you do lack a little bit in terms of acreage, and there are some like gaps in your distribution throughout your city, the opportunities to actually acquire parkland are pretty limited at this point, right? That said, we can kind of offset some of that with the fact that you have a lot of really great open space amenity in your foothills that I think the community really values. So moving forward, basically the goal for parks and trails would be to kind of stock your existing parks with, you know, continued quality amenities, kind of like you're doing at Hatch Park. I mean, that's a great example of what we're talking about, right? And once again, completing trail systems so that people can actually access these open spaces. And then last, you know, we don't want to ignore the elephant in the room that we heard from the public about air quality. And obviously there are some certain issues that are difficult to influence with that issue, particularly some of our point source polluters that we're aware of that are more regulated from a federal or state level. And I think, you know, the city can continue to work with those people on that front. But, you know, dialing this plan into issues that can be influenced. So electrification, reducing emissions of buildings throughout the city, you know, dialing people into programs available to help with that. Active transportation projects, water conservation to in turn help the Great Salt Lake, which in turn reduces dust pollution. You see where I'm going with this. focusing in on that smell, how can we reduce that smell with the sewer district? Seem like issues that might be a little bit more readily approachable.
$2 million in their budget for next year.
There you go.
Get rid of the state.
Excellent. What was this one here for? Okay, so going back to the alternative concepts that we had presented in the public workshop, this is that one that kind of emerged as like this was like the aha moment for everyone in the room when they, yeah, I think your community, as I mentioned, has a lot of really prime open space. Generally speaking, seems like a fairly active community. And you know, dialing in on Center Street and this other and creating a complete network of you know, trails and greenways within your community was something that really resonated with people. And so applying that and overlaying it with land use, we start to kind of see a corridor-based approach to future land use in your community. And I'll kind of walk you through what our kind of feelings are about this. Where are they? 5 minutes? Oh, man. Okay. This went too long. So we've already talked about the two ends on either end, and I've got future slides on that. You know, marginally speaking, applying some of those uses, we talked about applying retail at the south end of 89, and then, you know, infilling with residential on the north end of the corridors, where it seems appropriate, really with the purpose of trying to augment some of the financial opportunity there, support those businesses that we're talking about with these future land uses. There's more detailed concepts of kind of what those, how those land uses might shake out in the town center. This is kind of revisioning town center with a Center Street focused approach. Rather than US 89, Center Street is Main Street. It is the center line of your community. It is the spine of your community, both from a transportation perspective and from a, like a land use community character perspective. And similarly with the Foxborough end, you know, dialing into things fronting Center Street and trying to embrace that the whole way down by introducing even potentially retail uses along Center Street where there are currently vacant lots that are underutilized properties. So all this to cap is, you know, are we in the right direction here with this? What are we missing? And are there any items that are in focus or not in focus that we need to address? How do you as leadership feel about this? And how proactive of an approach, as Susie was kind of talking about, do you want to have with some of these land use issues? Those are kind of the things that we're really curious to hear from this group. I know we have really limited time, you know, if we don't have opportunity to hear from you tonight, certainly would love to entertain your comments outside of this meeting too.
I love the idea of Center Street as like our strong east-west organizing axis, and the two counterbalancing centers on both sides. I think it's really fantastic. I really didn't want to be the first one talking, but I don't really like silence, so I just wanted to say I really like that quite a bit. And maybe I should stop talking now.
You can say something good about bikes too, Ted.
I also love this, and I think it's going to be very helpful to be intentionally directing the next 10 years. I do have one question just on what you observed and whether you put analysis into Main Street going south, north. Do you feel like that has a lot of potential, or it's just been in the use that it's in for so long that the potential is very low at changing?
When you say Main Street, are you meaning US 89?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
As we move further up US 89, the depth of parcels becomes very shallow. Mm-hmm. And so that really becomes tricky in terms of utilization of parcels. Also, the size of parcels is so small that redevelopment requires acquisition of multiple parcels, which is a challenging feat, right? Mm-hmm. So, and in general, it feels like it locating alternate uses other than what's existing today or future residential uses on that stretch seems counterproductive to the energy that you're trying to create further down the road mm-hmm. here at the crossroad of Center Street and even at the Village Station area, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of our thoughts there is that if that area is to transition, that a residential use will be most suited for up there.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you. Makes sense.
I think this is really helpful. Thank you for doing this. It's a lot of information that I'm glad we're having a discussion at this stage. One thing that is new for me is the introduction of residential without height limitations. That's not something that I've been a part of discussions that's currently in consideration in the city. And if that is removed as an option in this plan, it changes everything. What parcels are high viability, which ones aren't. And so I think as this group, that might be a conversation we should address is do we anticipate that in the next 20 years we are going to have code that says we have no height restrictions on residential? Because if that's not in our plans, this doesn't really map into what our future would look like. And maybe those conversations are happening, but I've not been a part of those.
Yeah, I mean, as you go through the concepts, we obviously kind of threw some ballpark numbers at some number of stories on certain things. I think the only area that we said we didn't have height restrictions on was that retail area where we were anticipating maybe some hotels and office going in. But I think that's a good conversation for your community is, you know, you are North Salt Lake, like you're very close to the Salt Lake area. And you know, what sort of limitations do you want to have on that? Obviously, the less regulation you have on that front, the more opportunity there is for the market to kind of come in and make things happen. But there's also this factor of your existing neighborhoods and who you view yourselves as, and that may not be palatable depending on the location and how tall we're talking. So I think that's a really great question for you all.
I think the residential here assumed 3-4 and maybe a little bit of mixed use 5 stories, but we did not go anything that would go beyond surface parking.
So only speaking for myself, I would say as a matter of philosophy, it is true that we're adjacent to Salt Lake, but I think we identify more with South Davis and Bountiful and that area than we do being Salt Lake. In fact, I think, you know, I've heard so many comments about, you know, the big box high rises going up on every corner everywhere in Salt Lake, and people don't want that. Where we've seen, you know, controversy on multi-story housing is when it's in proximity to residential and there's kind of questions about whether it fits. You know, is it too abrupt of a change? I think it could be done as long as it's transitioned, and I see those concepts in here. So I think these things are interesting. I too kind of like the idea of putting the town center and having the I wasn't sure what the innovation center was, but out on Redwood and Foxborough. But I think there's a lot of work to be done on that piece on Center Street in between. I mean, right now it's just barely tolerable. You drive it, you ride your bike, it's just barely tolerable. Anyway, so there's a lot of work there. So that needs some real vision. And then the other point I want to make is to the balance of the city, I think there's a lot of improvements that need to be made. There's improvements to the code that we're trying to make now with land use tables. And a lot of it's what we don't want to see and what we do want to see. And whatever we do, I do think the balance of the city, we need to think through and make sure we're not leaving land uses in the code that are things that we don't want, and we do need to have the things that we do want. And, you know, in the last Planning Commission meeting, we're talking about like our commercial shopping districts. Well, we have a dearth of that. There's very little of it. We had the discussion, why do we have it? Because we have so little of it, and it's almost like it's a remnant of things that were done in the past. But, you know, we probably want to have like neighborhood centers, things that are used and useful by the community, things that you could go to and you know, might be a restaurant, it might be a laundromat, but it's just things that would be useful, and we want to try to promote that in more places in the city. So as much as I like to see the general plan focus on, you know, this Center Street corridor and all that, I do think there's a lot of important work to be done on the balance of it, including making sure that the code doesn't, you know, allow, we just don't need certain, more of certain things. We have enough of them. And so we need to make sure we do our homework on all that.
I was just going to make a comment, a couple of things. I feel like that when we had those community meetings, there was a lot of comments that said to keep us in the city, to do things that would be community. And I think that's an important part, because if we keep things in the city, then of course that keeps money in the city. But also, I do like the idea of a hotel close by. Just this last week, my kids, I have some that live in Provo, and they drove here because they had a really early flight, so they slept at my house, and they had a really late flight come home. And so I'm sure that that would happen a lot, and that just makes sense to have one right here because we are so close to the hotel, or I mean, excuse me, to the airport. So I am in favor of that, and those are just a couple of the thoughts that I've had as I've attended those meetings.
So you don't like your family coming and staying with
you? No, not my family. I love them staying at my house, but I'm just saying there's people I'm sure that have those early flights, but thanks. Just a thought. Always somebody a comedian.
Yes, that's right. Forgot about that.
I want to follow up on what Ron said about kind of amenities and resources, retail in the city. And if you look at this land use concept in Foxborough, there's very, very little that is retail. It's almost all residential of some variety. There is mixed use, but that would bring in a lot of people and not, I don't know, maybe I'm not seeing the vision, but I have concern about the level of laundromats and other retail restaurants that this provides for that level of people. Like, all of that in red, those are six-story buildings or higher. That's a lot of people. Also not a lot of open space for that many people in this plan, which I would like to see more of.
Yeah, I think, and it may be that the color, are you looking at the Zions map? The colors are just not printing very well on that one.
Look at that one.
This one here on the screen right now, which is in your packet, I think, is a lot more clear. Where the red area is intended to be a retail office hotel driven land use. And the area to the west with the little mixed use center that's where your residential is kind of transitioning that mixed use center into the residential neighborhood. So while it is an introduction of people, of additional people, we were not intending to put them all on the center of Redwood corridor area.
Yeah, we can change the color scale on that a little bit too. I think it needs a little more range because I'm having.
I sort of feel like the scale is not our first question. I think the first question is, do we as a community think that it makes sense to have another center on the west side in this generalized location? Because mm-hmm. That's a new idea. That's not in our general plan right now. And I think it'd be really useful to just sort of take the temperature of the room on that.
And in addition to that, south of Center Street on Redwood Road, does height restriction matter? I can see headed north, it becomes a big deal. But maybe going south, it isn't even, other than more people. And if we've learned something over the last 20 years, mixed use means residential and nothing else. So.
I really like your question, Ted. I think macro first and then micro, and we have kind of talked a lot about the micro, and because this is all such good information and a lot of information, but it feels to me, and maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but if we want to bring in more retail and more beyond the residential, we almost have to do a second town center because our opportunity is there. We don't. What I was hearing is there's just not a lot of opportunity going down 89. There's not a lot of opportunity east side of Center Street. And so if we do want to bring in these other amenities, then our opportunity exists there. So then that inherently just kind of creates two town centers. I feel like we have a very vibrant to the north, where we border west, or where we border Bountiful and Woods Cross. We have that restaurant, vibrant, and then we just kind of have this dearth, this skinny dearth of everything except one thing. And then, and bringing a lot of revenue, which we love. And then our opportunity just exists here in the south, the mm-hmm. southeast and the southwest. Is that fair? Is
yeah, that- and that's exactly right. And I think that's where the points that Eric was kind of bringing up in the very beginning of the Zions analysis was that because there's such an opportunity zone on the west side, that the generation from that can then be utilized to spur conditions in the east, right? Where right now it's the east side is just having a hard time getting off the ground. So
I like the approach of recognizing that it takes density to build a community. Like in order to have the amenities that we're talking about with open space and trails and bikeability and walkability, you have to have density. And we can talk about what form that needs to take. We can talk about how to remove, you know, red tape. I was kind of shocked to hear that we have to have a P district to have any kind of interest. Like, I didn't. So that's a whole separate conversation. But I mean, and I'll just give you an example of this. Like, there's no movie theater outside of Centerville and Salt Lake. And if there's density, well, now you could have a simple amenity like a movie theater where you can take your kids and go watch it. Like, just little things like that that make a community a better place. We've talked, you know, there have been
Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Amen. Yeah. And so I appreciate the work that y'all have done around recognizing that, like, yeah, there may be creative things like throwing out height limits for certain things, and not that you're going to get a, you know, 10, 15, 20 story thing. That's the market isn't going to support something
exactly
like that. Yeah. But recognizing that, hey, the more that we can, you know, back on, I think it was slide 28, recognize not only what do we want as a community, but then how do we help shape that and what form does that take? And what level of involvement is the city going to take? Is it the, and I think that would be interesting to hear feedback from y'all in the future is if you go to slide 28, where it talks about the different levels of involvement. Yeah. So what is it that we want to envision and create, and what level of involvement, and how over the top are we doing it? Are we, how much is the city directly shaping it versus creating the environment for it to exist? I have none of those answers. But.
Ken, I can tell you want to say something, don't you? Or Sherry.
I'm just waiting, hoping more of you would
speak. I think the work that this group's done has been great. It's, I think for us, on the staff side, it helps to, this thus far, the process has helped us to focus, I think, again, on some of these bigger questions. I appreciate the way Ted framed his question, which is looking at this general plan. Here's a new part of the general plan we haven't thought about. And I think that those are great questions. I think these questions on on that slide are really critical questions as well. It's been discouraging, maybe to build on what the mayor said, it's been a little discouraging to engage in that high risk level, if you're looking at that slide, because the city has done that and has not achieved the economic goals that we set out to achieve. And there's lots of reasons for that. Some of those reasons include decisions made by private property owners or developers or people unwilling to invest their capital in the way that we had hoped. So I think North Salt Lake is still trying to sort of unlock that nut of what should our participation be, and how do we achieve the result that we wish to achieve. I think everybody that's talked, I really agree with John talking about density, which in certain circumstances has made us uncomfortable in different ways. The town center here in where we are is an unfinished product still. It's sort of an unfinished experiment. I think it's going to be a good experiment. I think the general plan in 2013 was a brilliant way to look at the town center, and we ought not to abandon those plans in spite of the fact that we have barriers on 89, and I think looking at Center Street in a new way is a great way to approach that question. I think some of these questions are going to not, they're not going away. They're going to be difficult for the city council to determine, you know, what really is our role. This is the last thing I'll say. It seems to me that North Salt Lake, leaving this future land use plan to the market only, will not get the progress that we want to have as quickly as we want to have it. So I guess I'm planting a seed with the city council. We really should have more discussion about what tools, what investments, what sorts of things do we want to incentivize and participate in as a city, financially participate in. We have some tools. We have the redevelopment agency as a main tool. That's what these folks have concentrated on. And I think that's going to be a central question. So if we care about the idea of a center, a neighborhood center on the west side, if we care about further incentivizing land uses in the town center here, we'll need to invest as a city, whatever that looks like.
So I look at it like we have this general plan. This, you know, if I had a magic wand, this is what I'd want the next 20 years to look like. But it should be market-driven in the sense that if a developer comes to us with a really awesome idea that even maybe is outside the plan a little bit, but we love it, then we move heaven and earth to make it happen. I've dealt with Salt Lake City where, for example, at the Gateway, we had the main floor of Gateway 5 empty for years because someone in City Hall decided that they needed a grocery store downtown. And finally, years later, Harmon's came in and built one so we could turn around and lease that up. But that's the government deciding what the market should be, and it doesn't work. So I think these tools are great, and I think that, you know, the vision can be there, but we can't force it.
So I have a question on that, and the density got me thinking at first about exactly what Ken brought up. So going back to your first comment, we, when you look at the other cities around us, we have done our fair share of apartments, high-density residential. So rooftop-wise, I'm constantly baffled at why, I don't know, is it the size of our city? Because rooftop-wise, it feels like we have a pretty strong market to bring in retail, because we do have so much density. But I believe, and I could be wrong, Centerville gave the land to Walmart as their anchor. And I believe West Bountiful gave a tax allowance for 20 years to Costco. And when Walmart and Costco went in, what happened was everyone else, if you build it, they will come. And so to that point, we don't necessarily, we do want free market to prevail. We don't want to be authoritarian government control, but at the same point, to Ken's point, how aggressive are we willing to be to at least get an anchor that would then attract Trader Joe's? Yeah.
Sorry. I think we have a bigger case of if you build it, they will come without costing the city anything, though. Back to what Ted was saying when you spoke first, I'm glad you did, asking if we should have a city center on the west side. It's going to happen. With a lot of people think that development drives transportation. It's the other way around. We're getting a gift of this 215 interchange that is going to make developers salivate at the opportunity of developing at the south end of our city, Redwood in particular. So it's going to happen because of that transportation, that infrastructure increase. Same thing with 89, with what we're getting access to our major north-south arterials, and that the developers will come.
And if I can just add, what I like about this concept of the activity center around Redwood and Center is that I've watched as Lee's come in and everything around it started snowballing. And so I think the idea is we have this opportunity here. How do we tie this opportunity to our town center and create a synergy? And I think that's that Greenway connection, because as things do start to grow there, if we have a plan of the things we want at Center and Redwood and a way to link it to our town center, it will naturally grow to those other areas. But we have to have that underlying, hey, here's this great reason to now come on to this side, and here's a reason for these people to go on to this side and go back and forth, and they can really feed off of each other. And I think that's one of the things that I like about this idea, is that we know something's going to happen here. There's tons of underutilized property. There is developers who are holding it, who are planning on doing something when the market is just right. And I think we're on the precipice of it being just right. And so I think the more prepared we get today, the better we can take advantage of that opportunity when it comes down the pike.
So is that going to high priority actions up the intolerable Center Street corridor?
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. But that's a policy decision that you, as the city council and the planning commission, is going to recommend to you that you have to make. And so we're trying to do the analysis to see if that actually will work, mm-hmm. and trying to give you the tools to make it work if it's the direction that you want to go.
So I love the idea of the Center Street being a corridor that connects the two and making that feel like an easy breezeway. But I think that the discussion without addressing the issue of the train is, there's a big issue right there. So we can beautify it, we can expand it, we can make all these things wonderful, but I think that the train is actually one of the amenities that the West Side residents are like, fix this problem. And so I don't think it's in our best interest to have these conversations without addressing that. Is there any way we can get a bridge over that? Is there any engineering that can be done to actually connect these two parts of our city? Because right now that train is truncating between the two parts, and people don't want to take that road because you can't guarantee that you're not going to get stuck on a like even my children who are bused out of there, the bus takes 2:15 to get around it because they can't guarantee that the kids will get to Mueller Park on time. And so this idea that, like, I look at this plan and I'm looking at this one and it's like, oh yeah, this looks great. But the elephant in the room here is that train amputates that part of the city off. And so if we really want to do something big for the city in the next 15 years, it's finding out a way to have that train not amputate our city in half. And whatever that might be, whether there's some engineering that can be done there, but in order for us to vitalize that these two areas can be interconnected like that, we can't not talk about the train.
Yeah, and I wish I had the transportation team here tonight, but I'm glad you brought that up. The train tracks are an obvious barrier we're all aware of. And getting vehicular grade separation over that is extremely, it's kind of cost prohibitive, right? It's a very, very challenging thing, mainly because we have so many tracks that we have to get across, right? If those could be consolidated, we might have a better shot. Otherwise, we're looking at like a flyover like you see in the Salt Lake rail yards, right? So as we've kind of moved forward with this concept, what we've been kind of banking on is that there's going to be a change in the functionality of the traffic network with the I-215 project, where 215 is going to be dumping into the south end of your community soon. And so utilizing 215 to get from one end to the other for cars is going to be a much more viable option than it is today. So that's going to have some definite impacts on the vehicular traffic. That said, people are still going to want to take Center Street. And that barrier is still going to exist in part for that. There's definitely an opportunity to bridge active transportation, peds and bikes, over the train tracks as part of this greenway concept. But yeah, that's definitely an issue. And, you know, as far as getting cars across, and at least for the foreseeable future, I'm not sure, like, what our options are beyond that, you know?
Has there been any study on active transportation, like doing a bridge of some kind just for active transportation on that?
Horrocks has worked on some of that geometry for us, so. But maybe we could just make it more enjoyable while you were stuck behind, waiting for the train.
We're going to have pickleball courts by the train tracks.
And look at some murals or something.
But I think your point is very valid, where you're like, we're conceptualizing how it is now, not once those bidirectional interchanges at 215, 15, and 89 are done. Like, that is vastly going to reshape how car traffic, vehicular traffic affects Center. Like,
yeah.
They'll still be together.
Yeah. But like, you. Yeah.
And it'll still affect residents who want to move from side to side in the city. And I will maybe sum up, and Ken, you could add a lot more detail to this, but the city council has looked at for years putting grade separation there, and it's my understanding that it's dead in the water, that it just is not going to happen on Center Street, and that's my understanding. You can clarify that. But one thing I will add, I do like the idea of a town center on the west side. I like the idea of it being at this location. I was not sure about that, but I think, Ryan, your point was best, that it creates this kind of turn between the east and west. If this becomes a green way, we also can look at transporting that area and having there be a pedestrian access over the train. And so it incentivizes people to use the electric scooters instead of cars to go over the train and find other ways that they can traverse the city that don't have to be based on cars. And I think that's worth adding some infrastructure around.
And I'll answer Ted's question differently than I think we've heard, but I feel like we already have a town center on the west side. when I've got to go get groceries or the last minute thing that we forgot, I will drive over. I'm apparently West Eaglewood. I've never heard that term, but I will drive over Center Street to go to Lee's. Lee's is, in terms of most people in North Salt Lake, don't know where our boundaries are. But in North Salt Lake, that's kind of already the core for the things we need. So answering that question, it feels like knowing that we're already going there, if we expand and have more of a core there at Redwood and Center, I think people in Foxborough will have less complaints about trains, because it's not, people on the east side don't really complain about trains too often. We hear it from people who live in Foxborough. Well, if the core is down there, takes some ease off of the people who living in Foxborough are constantly waiting for a train to go to other cores.
If I can make just a few comments, I think the general plan approach you've taken has really been fantastic. You've done excellent work. And when you talked about the guiding principles at the beginning, he had seven of them. And it's going to make a decision for us to make a decision of those which are a priority, because I'm hearing economic opportunity seems to be a priority for some of us, and then mobility and access for others. And for everything we pick, there'll be a trade-off. We can't have all seven. And so knowing that makes me think to myself, okay, I heard some great surprising ideas. Like, I'm all for height. They've done studies in Davis County 20, 30 years. You got to get height in Davis County if you're going to have growth and if you're going to be able to accommodate population. We have to go up. Okay, we're not completely built out, but we're close, and we're going to have to go up. The hotel, I say one or two. It'd be great. And that location on the southwest is where it needs to be. And that is an easy do. You don't even have to have incentives for developers for hotels. Okay. Then the idea of commercial being the sacred cow, I don't buy it. I just simply don't right now. Retail, if you read The Economist, restaurants are closing down right and left. They're just not staying in business. They can't. So there's a lot of problems that we're going to have and face with commercial. The other thing that I'm concerned about, and this may change over time, is that we have a legislature that's dominated by developers. Dominated. And they are deciding issues for us at the local level. We as a city then have to know what we truly want as a community and protect those interests. Because if we do not, we will be ridden over by the development community. And this idea of the grid of what do you want to do, high, moderate, or low, I think the public infrastructure districts are the bane of our existence, and they will come back to bite us. I think that infrastructure, public infrastructure districts is a scam. So, and I thought it was interesting, hadn't thought of that, but we could have a nightlife in our industrial area. I hadn't even thought of that. But, you know, most cities have those, right? All we've got is northern exposure for our our nightlife. And we could do better than that, yeah. I think. Anyway, I appreciate all of your work. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are... Yeah, yeah. No, for sure.
I think we've come up on our time. Yep. Do you have a closing comment?
Yeah, I think these have all been really great comments, and we appreciate everything that everyone's shared tonight. I think we'll certainly have a little bit more refinement to do. I definitely want to lean into a couple of these ideas that have been brought up. Maybe dial in a little bit more on the questions around commercial and generally I feel like we're hearing that this is a good direction, and so we will carry this forward and begin to kind of draft this out and detail it a little further. That's going to be our objective over the next couple months, is developing that draft plan, and then that'll go through a review process in the new year. So thank you for your contribution.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Let's quickly adjourn and take a few minutes, and then we'll convene back in for City Council.